the signs for Republican gubernatorial candidate Mike Dunleavy. Maybe you've seen them with bears and killer whales. They're all over Alaska. You might also have heard some of the radio ads, like the one where a Democratic state senator praises Dunleavy's ideas about the Alaska Permanent Fund dividend. Here's the catch. Those advertisements don't come from Dunleavy's campaign. Instead, they're from an independent group that's been funded largely by two wealthy men, Dunleavy's brother, Francis Dunleavy, and Alaska developer and recreational fishing advocate Bob Penny. And as Nat Herz with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, that has some people worried about how much clout the two men would have if Mike Dunleavy is elected.
Tyson Fick is a commercial fisherman, which means he spends a lot of time thinking about politics. That trade war the president is pushing, not so great if you're trying to sell salmon to China, for example. Lately, Fick, who's from Juneau, has been worried about Alaska politics, too.
Oh, there's so many things to be anxious about, you know, this election, the state election, and exactly what it will mean and for the future of Alaska and, you know, the country for that matter.
Fick's business depends on Alaska government for a lot. Fishery science and management, transportation and infrastructure. One thing making Fick especially nervous right now is that the frontrunner in the campaign for governor, Republican Mike Dunleavy, has pledged to slash state budgets. Then there's the fact that one of Alaska's highest profile recreational fishing advocates, developer Bob Penny, has given hundreds of thousands of dollars to a group supporting Dunleavy. Penny has clashed with commercial fishermen near the Kenai River for decades. A group he funded once called Commercial Set Nets, quote, indiscriminate killing machines, and unsuccessfully tried to ban them in certain areas. Fick says he's worried about how much weight Dunleavy, if he's elected, would give to Penny's ideas, and to his suggestions of people to appoint to the boards and commissions that divide up the catch between commercial and recreational fishermen.
The problem that I have is when there's any amount of wildly out of scale donation to a particular candidate, it always makes me question, well, who is that candidate going to be answering to at the end of the day?
Penny has given $325,000. Francis Dunleavy, one of Mike's three brothers, has given $400,000. Together, the two men have spent roughly the same amount of money to get Mike Dunleavy elected as the Democratic candidate, Mark Begich, has raised for his entire campaign. Bob Penny wouldn't agree to be interviewed, but I talked to one of his longtime friends, Mark Hamilton. And according to Hamilton, Penny really doesn't have strong opinions about commercial fishing statewide. Instead, he says, Penny's views on fishing are really local. He wants to preserve salmon for recreational fishermen on the Kenai River, a popular destination for tourists and people from the Anchorage area.
The genesis of his actions are access for the common man to bring his children down to the Kenai River. He has no anti-commercial fishing views about Bristol Bay or the pollock fishermen or the crab fishermen or anything like it. It's very specific.
Penny got even more specific in a prepared statement he sent me. He says he's 86 years old and that Cook Inlet King Salmon is now the number one issue in his life. He says the fish are a national treasure, but the state mismanages them. The political group that Penny is supporting calls itself Dunleavy for Alaska. It's what's known as an independent expenditure group, the state-level version of the super PACs authorized by the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision in 2010. Dunleavy for Alaska has spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on television and radio commercials and mailers. It's bought ads on political blogs and produced a series of custom campaign signs. Dunleavy's rivals say the group was crucial to his victory in the Republican primary nomination. Here's Mead Treadwell, who lost to Dunleavy in that race, talking on primary night to a panel run by a political blog, The Alaska Landmine.
I'll just say that the biggest challenge that I had, in all honesty, is that my opponent had two donors who wrote big six-figure checks. I had a lot of small donors on my side and a lot of small donors on the IE side. And that's hard. It's pretty hard to run against Francis Dunleavy's checkbook, period.
Francis Dunleavy wouldn't agree to be interviewed. He lives in Houston and hasn't spoken to Alaska reporters since getting involved in state politics. But he did respond to a series of emailed questions. And he says he anticipates having no role in state government if his brother is elected governor. The no was in all caps. He also says he's not well informed enough about Alaska policy issues to make recommendations to Mike Dunleavy. For his part, Mike Dunleavy also wouldn't agree to an interview. But he says in an email that he doesn't consult with any of his three brothers about state business. And he says that if he's elected, he'll treat Bob Penny's policy views like any other constituents. In Anchorage, I'm Nat Herz.